You're listening to the Bottom Line podcast, where those living with or beyond bowel cancer, as well as health professionals involved in bowel cancer treatment and care, share their inspirational stories and lived experiences with host and bowel cancer survivor, Stephanie.
Today's podcast explores the importance of exercise throughout the cancer continuum. Evidence is substantial as to its positive effects across prevention, treatment, recovery, and recurrence. And Bowel Cancer Australia has a dedicated bowel care exercise physiologist as part of their telehealth support services. Joining me today is Kaylee. Welcome, Kaylee.
Hello.
And also we have the wonderful patient, John, who's going to join us from a patient lived experience perspective. Welcome, John.
Hey, good to be with you.
So I'm going to start with you first, Kaylee. If you could just briefly explain what an exercise physiologist is, because I don't think many people who perhaps aren't in that space yet know exactly what one does.
Yeah, absolutely. So an exercise physiologist is someone who works to improve people's health through exercise. And exercise physiologists are specifically trained in chronic health conditions as well. And we use exercise as a prescription to improve outcomes for this population.
Fabulous. And you obviously work in conjunction generally with a multidisciplinary team as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
And John, talk us through your journey. I met you initially on The Movement. We then met face-to-face at Call on Canberra. But can you summarise your journey with bowel cancer?
Sure. So I was diagnosed with stage 3 of bowel cancer in November 2023. So I'm actually just coming up to my two-year cancerversary next week. I think it's one for celebration, I think. So I had a bowel resection, so I had a right hemicolectomy. And then that was followed up with 3 months of adjuvant chemotherapy.
And how are you doing now, John?
Really well. So under surveillance, so regular scans, blood tests, etc. But currently no evidence of disease, which is absolutely wonderful, which I'm extremely grateful for. A couple of side effects linger, primarily quite a bit of peripheral neuropathy, hands and feet, and really struggle with fatigue.
Which is where we'll chat about where exercise comes in for you and, Kaylee, how that can also help patients who have some of these side effects. So exercise is a vitally important aspect to anyone's cancer diagnosis. We know that. We know, you know, even when I was being treated back 12, 13 years ago, they said the importance of exercise. Kaylee, can you talk us through how exercise can help through the diagnosis process first up?
Yeah, I'd love to. I could talk about the benefits of exercise for hours.
We like that.
But if we start sort of like pre-treatment or surgery, it's super important. Exercise is so important to go in as strong and as fit as you possibly can, because what that does is it allows you to lift your baseline and be ready to deal with whatever is thrown at you. But then if a person does need to go through chemotherapy, exercise is then a must. We know the benefits of aerobic exercise going through, especially the day of and the day after you have a treatment, because what exercise does is it just helps to pump that chemotherapy through your body just that little bit more effectively. And not to mention all of the side effects that come from chemotherapy as well. So common things like John's already mentioned, the peripheral neuropathy, the fatigue, brain fog, and there are others as well, but exercise can help mitigate and reduce some of those side effects and just improve quality of life and maintenance through that period of time. And then it's so important even if someone's going through radiation, because we see bone mineral density decreases there. And you know, if you're to pair that with somebody who has medically induced menopause, for example, from going through treatment, then that bone mineral density drop can be so significant and happen so quickly. So yeah, there's so many benefits of exercise throughout the whole process.
And I'll come back to some of your tips and tricks in a minute, Kaylee. But John, for you, how important was exercise to help you through the various parts of your cancer journey? So initially with diagnosis perhaps, and then through treatment.
It's been absolutely key, and I'm probably going to echo some of the points that Kaylee's mentioned. So I've got a wonderful GP He's really interested in kind of holistic health, which has been fabulous right through this process. And after my diagnosis, which obviously was a bit of a shock, I kind of said to him, look, what can I do to help myself? What's the best way I can get a good outcome from this once I understood what the treatment was going to be? And he said, look, before surgery, treat it like an event that you're training for. Get as fit as you can. Try and get ready for it, because that will help you through the surgery and with your recovery. So I basically hit the rowing machine. I've got a rowing machine that I bought during the COVID pandemic. And I just got on there. And you know what? It felt great to actually be able to have some control over something, because you kind of feel like life's just been put everything's taken away, and you've got these people who are kind of guiding you and helping you through the process. But I wanted to do something for myself, and being able to do that exercise really kind of gave me a sense of having some control back. Afterwards, right through my chemotherapy, apart from the fifth day after my infusions, I went out and walked every single day, whether I felt like it or not. And I think the benefits, not just for my physical health, but mental health as well, were absolutely enormous.
Mm. That is another area, isn't it, Kaylee, that it helps the mental side. And I think that area of control, John, is a really important factor, because you do lose a lot of control. You're in the hands of experts. Your thoughts around that, Kaylee? Anything to add?
Yeah, no, I think John's hit the nail right on the head there. And I think, yeah, the mental side of things is something that really can change quite quickly throughout different phases of treatment. And, yeah, like you've both said, I think that key word is control. And exercise is something that we know can help, and it's something that you can take into your own hands and use as a tool and a motivation to help start to improve some things that you can control.
What's your advice, Kaylee, for those that perhaps feel so tired? And John, I'm sure you went through this. I know I did. You're so tired, just getting yourself out of bed some days or off the lounge is difficult. What sort of tips would you give to patients?
Yeah, I think the first tip I would give is the importance to be kind to yourself and to realize that any exercise is going to be better than none. And try not to compare yourself to sort of what you were achieving before or how much exercise you could do. And, you know, getting outside and going for a walk to the letterbox, that is a great start. And it's something that, you know, if you can start to do some form of exercise throughout the day in really small doses, but trying to make that frequent and as frequent as you can. So if that's once every 2 hours, you get up and you walk to the kitchen, or you get up and walk to the letterbox. Or if you're feeling good once you get to the letterbox, you're walking around the street. And it's just those little step-by-step progressions that I think are so, so important.
Be kind to yourself pops up a lot, because I think we are incredibly hard on ourselves. We have a lot of other things going on. You might have family, you're juggling work. We do need to be kind to ourselves, don't we, John?
We do, and I think a really key point there that Kelly's touched on is not to compare what you can do with what you used to be able to do. So if I look at like what my fitness used to be like, so for my 40th birthday, I got pretty fit and I did the Everest Base Camp trek. For my 50th birthday, I was going to do the Machu Picchu trek, and I ended up having chemotherapy instead. I think it's really important to remember that, you know, sometimes comparison is the thief of joy. So if you compare yourself to what you used to be able to do or to what other people can do, it's just not helpful. You're not being kind to yourself. So, you know, absolutely focus on what you can do and do whatever you can.
Yeah, we do. We compare ourselves to others as well. And I think the other important point, Kaylee, is that every human being is unique. You don't have the same trajectory, do you?
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right on that. And one thing that I find useful with people that are going through large chemotherapy-related fatigue is also trying to keep a fatigue diary, because it's, you know, it is something that is new to you. And the issue with fatigue is you can, you know, when you're having good days, you just go out, you do everything that you possibly can, and then you crash. And you start to become in what we call a boom-bust cycle. And getting out of that is so, so hard. So keeping a fatigue diary helps to show, when you're doing too much and what the consequence of that might be, and then how to stabilize that and slowly build and slowly start to see improvements in your fatigue.
And Kaylee, your role as a bowel care exercise physiologist at Bowel Cancer Australia, what do you talk to patients about if they come to you and say, I need some help? What sort of things do you help them with?
Yeah, so at Bowel Cancer Australia, when I talk to people, it's all specific and individual to them. So usually it'll involve some sort of exercise program tailored to what they are experiencing, and that may be, if they are in chemotherapy, it may be looking at what they're going through and giving them some advice about some things that they can do to improve that. It may be, I speak to a lot of people that have had major surgery as well, and it's sort of working towards building them back up to exercise or prepping them for that surgery as well.
John, how did Kaylee help you?
I think what I found really worthwhile is having somebody who understands, as an exercise physiologist, where people are so that they can kind of, meet themselves where they are. Actually, after my treatment, saw an exercise physiologist and they pushed me like way too hard because they didn't understand where I was and what my objectives were. So I ended up doing a HIIT session in a reduced oxygen room.
Oh,
And I've never
gosh.
felt so unwell, I think, in my entire life. And it was really off-putting. So after that, I shared the experience and the wonderful Anthony Ellison actually said, look, that was completely inappropriate. He said that shouldn't have happened to you. And he was really apologetic. What I really like about Kaylee's approach is she tailors things so that, if you're not in fabulous health, there are still things you can do. So my balance is pretty shot because of the neuropathy. So when we do some of the regular sessions that Kaylee hosts, she does different versions of movements and exercises so that everyone can participate. And I find that really, really worthwhile.
Which is a nice segue. The wonderful Anthony Ellison, as you said, started the Meaningful Movement because he was so passionate about exercise and its importance. Kaylee, you have taken that on and you run a session. Do you want to talk us through what you do in those sessions?
Yeah, so what we do is we have a thing called Workout Wednesday, and what that involves is everyone jumping on the Facebook page. Anyone that's in the group is able to join, and we spend 30 minutes doing a variety of different things depending on the session. Sometimes we focus on general moving your body. Sometimes it's on stretching, or as John said, balance work. And sometimes it does focus a little bit more on strength. But the main aspect of the group is just trying to promote that any exercise is better than none, like I've said before, and tailoring that to a variety of different levels. And wherever you're at, you can join and you can still participate in some way.
It's such a wonderful resource that we provide, and you can access that obviously through the movement. Back to treatment, just quickly, Kaylee. Is there, I've known people, I think Anthony was one of those that took a little machine that he could tick his legs over when he was having treatment. Is there any tips and tricks that you have got for those that are going through treatment?
There's so many little tips and tricks that sometimes can be missed, and exactly like you said, those pedal bikes. If someone's going through chemotherapy, like I mentioned before, the benefit of aerobic exercise, pedaling on a little bike like that while you're going through treatment is so amazing, and we're starting to see that more and more throughout hospitals, and that's really exciting to see. I think there's still plenty of room for improvement in that space as well, but I think the biggest tip and trick for people going through treatment is just to know that there is so much exercise and so many things that you can do from your own house, from your living room. You don't need to go outside, and especially in different forms of treatment, that risk of infection is higher. So that is a huge barrier, but there is so many things you can do.
You don't have to do John's go out and do a HIIT exercise session.
Exactly. Absolutely right. And yeah, there's just so many little things, and it whether that be pelvic floor, whether that be peripheral neuropathy related, you can add those little things into your routine. They may take like a couple of minutes, and it doesn't have to be super structured. There's so many things going on. You might be trying to balance a family, work, You might be trying to balance heaps of appointments all at the same time. So exercise doesn't need to be another appointment, another thing that you don't want to do, but it can just be incorporated in your day-to-day living.
I'm going to touch on neuropathy because I still have neuropathy 12, 13 years down the track. And John, it's obviously an effect that's really impacted your lifestyle. Is there anything that you have found that's helped that from an exercise perspective?
It's fascinating. I think neuropathy, the things that can improve it and make a difference. So Anthony taught me a great exercise, which is really simple, which is when you get up in the morning, just roll a tennis ball under your feet. And it's remarkable the difference that it makes. I think actually getting some sensation to the nerves. Kaylee taught us a great exercise in the last Wednesday movement session, which was superb. Basically stand and draw the alphabet with your feet. Sounds a bit strange, but it's actually really good because it gets the circulation moving. That's one of the things I really like about those sessions is once you learn the movements, there's a lot of stuff which is really easy to do at home or wherever you are. I even got some people in the dog park doing some of the movements, right? I took the dog for a walk and got them doing something. You tend to remember because they're very easy and straightforward, but make a really big difference. I was astonished because there's a bit of cold water involved, but I try and get out and walk on the beach with the dog as often as possible. And I actually find walking on the sand really helps my neuropathy. I've got no idea why or what the science is behind it, but it certainly helps. I suspect it's just around that kind of texture and probably certainly getting the body moving, if nothing else, just getting your circulation happening.
Kaylee?
You're absolutely right, John. It's the power in the change of sensation. So, like you said, the rubbing the tennis ball that Anthony told you over your foot, it's that change of sensation. So everything that we look to do, it might be, I usually say like a spiky ball, just to add a little bit more change of sensation, as well as like the sand for you. So I'll tell people to stand and balance on different surfaces just to promote some sort of change in sensation and get those nerve pathways firing. It might be, standing on one leg, if that's something that you can manage, and doing that on a doormat or the carpet or the grass. And it's all dependent on, we don't want to do the cold tiles because sometimes that can be a trigger for the peripheral neuropathy. But yeah, like John said, it's all about that change of sensation, but then also circulation. So getting blood flow to the area, keeping, whether it be hands or feet, moving in any capacity that you can.
And I think the wonderful thing there is that these are things that, pretty much anyone can do. Most people, regardless of whether with treatment, can probably sit on the side of the bed and roll a tennis ball. And also, you don't need to spend a fortune on equipment. You don't need a home gym. I think, most people can stretch to a tennis ball or a spiky ball or whatever. These things are really powerful because anyone can do it. Anyone can, participate and make that start, Even if you can only, some days when I was going through my chemotherapy, I could only walk 400 meters, but there's a bigger difference between walking 0 meters and 400 meters than walking, 18 kilometers and 19 kilometers. It doing something is a bigger difference than, trying to push yourself.
The fear of recurrence is always in the back of a cancer patient's mind, isn't it, John?
Certainly is.
Even, 12, 13 years down the track, it still sits there. I still get scanxiety. Kaylee, is there degrees of exercise and types of exercise that are more beneficial?
Yeah, so I think the most important thing is that consistency. So having that building exercise into your regular routine is so important in any capacity. But absolutely, there's been some recent studies coming out and they are explaining almost exactly what you've said, Steph. They did a structured exercise program. They did it for 3 years, and what they found is the risk of recurrence had been reduced by roughly about 28% in that specific population. And what that involved was trying to get 30 minutes of brisk aerobic exercise. So that's a pace that you're walking where you can hold a conversation, but it's getting a bit tough. You're getting a bit out of breath, or in any other mode that may be swimming, riding a bike, for example. But what they said is at least 4 times a week for that 30 to 45 minute mark.
And John, where are you now with your exercise? How much exercise do you do a week?
I exercise every day. I make it a priority. So it's the first thing that I do. And the reason behind that, which is pretty simple, but I think it's quite powerful, is that I find that doing exercise gives me energy to do other things. Doing other things doesn't give me energy to exercise. So in terms of my level of fatigue, it almost sounds counterintuitive, but doing some exercise gives me a real boost. So I need to rest afterwards. So there's the pacing concept of, you know, not pushing yourself and getting into that boom and bust cycle that Kaylee mentioned. But other than that, I exercise literally every single day. I also like the concept a few people in the Meaningful Movement group talk about, which is kind of snack-sized exercise. So if you can't do what you used to, you know, I used to be able to go out and hike 30 kilometers. I can't do that now. But, you know, I can do, for example, a 4 to 6 kilometer walk in the morning and then try and do some strength work in the afternoon, potentially. So either go to the gym or get in the water, do some swimming. I'm a terrible swimmer, but trying to get better. So, you know, there is that concept as well that says, you know, you don't have to do it all in one go. So if you can do snack sized pieces throughout the day, that can be really helpful.
And Kaylee, strength. John mentioned that strength training. How important is that?
Strength training it's crucial. Moving your body and building strength is so important to not only while you're going through treatment, but in the long term, because what that does is it also helps with that fatigue, and it helps with that oxygen consumption through your body. It just makes it that little bit effective. But being strong and feeling fit is just, yeah, so, so vital.
And some people, and I don't know whether this was you, John, it wasn't me, but they lose control with Lars. How does exercise help them? You know, they may not be able to have a normal lifestyle, for example, because they are worried about losing control. Is there any tips and tricks there for people that might be experiencing that?
Absolutely. So I think one of the biggest tips and tricks is when you are in that state as well, just doing some things that you can manage inside your house in that comfort zone. And if you do go out, knowing where the toilet is, for example, and just those little things do help. But if you are experiencing Lars, there's so many exercises that you can start to do to help with control. And that's all about sort of learning how to use, especially those, what we call the sphincter muscles that go right around your anus and the pelvic floor muscles in general. Because especially for somebody who may have had a temporary stoma bag, those muscles, they sit dormant for almost that whole period of time where you have the stoma bag. So they will be a little bit weaker throughout that period, but there's so much you can do pre having a stoma bag, during having a stoma bag, and after as well. And I think it's just really important to note that you can see improvement. So that first time after surgery, it might be quite confronting, the change in sort of how many times you need to have a bowel movement. But I think if there's one thing to take from it, it's seeking support. So that might be talking to an exercise physiologist. It might be that your nutrition needs to change, and seeing a nutritionist is so vital. And there's pelvic floor physios that are specialized in that area that can do examinations to see if it's maybe an issue where the muscles are too tight and they can't relax. So there's plenty of different avenues that you can follow to see improvement.
I think that's the important thing too, isn't it, John? Don't suffer through something because you think this is your new normal. There are things you can do and reach out. And obviously at Bowel Cancer Australia, I'm going to give us a plug, because we have got nutritionists, we have got exercise physiologists, and they really do assist, don't they, John?
Everyone I've spoken to who's used the services of the Bowel Cancer Australia nutritionist absolutely raves about Jo. She is wonderful. And when I was going through my chemotherapy, just some simple tips that I got from her made an absolutely huge difference to how I felt on a daily basis. So, and even since then, I guess you touch on that point around recurrence, you know, it is a constant worry. But my view is, again, coming back to control, you know, do what you can. And if you can genuinely say you've done everything you can, then it's kind of out of your hands, but at least you can say that. So when I finished my treatment, I kind of had a bit of a mental slump, which I think is quite common, quite typical. And I spoke to the Bowel Cancer Australia social worker, who was wonderful. And I had a bit of a meltdown with her. But it's kind of you, because you've got this constant care that you're going through. You've got all these appointments, people are looking after you. And then one day, so they just say, well, okay, away you go for 3 months and we'll see you, you know, see you then. And I think it's kind of that loss of the structure. So I dealt with that by looking at what I could do. So it was nutrition, exercise, and I found that a great help. Like now we have virtually no processed foods in the house. So a lot of things that we would have eaten, we now pretty much, I say we, it's mostly my wife, if I'm honest, but we kind of make pretty much everything from scratch.
She's a good lady, John.
She's been incredible through this whole experience. But yeah, all these things make a material difference. And in terms of that control piece, you know, I haven't suffered terribly with it, I think probably because of the location of where my tumor was. So it was right at the top of the colon. But I still have, you know, accidents, shall we say. There's a funny meme that I share with people. I think it was from The Simpsons, where it says like 0 days since last accident, right? Which is, you know, it's quite confronting when you're 51 years old to be having bathroom accidents, right? But diet makes a huge difference with that too. So that nutrition piece, there are things that now, you know, I can eat them, but I know that I'm going to suffer if I do.
And I think that's the important thing, Kaylee, is that this is multifaceted, isn't it? It's not just exercise sitting there alone. It's a multifaceted approach to your recovery. And we talk about living well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just that holistic care is something that everybody needs and everybody deserves. So there's no one fit. This is going to be the only thing that helps you, but putting all of those little pieces of a puzzle together is the best way.
And I think the other important piece here is that it doesn't matter where in the country you are, Kaylee, they can access you because this is via telehealth and it is a free service. So please reach out. John, are there any other resources that you use that were very helpful?
One thing that springs to mind is, I think I mentioned that when I finished my treatment, I found it really difficult not having a structure because you don't have the routine of appointments and scheduled care and that kind of thing. But there's a really great template on the Bowel Cancer Australia website where you can do a care plan for yourself. So you can look at things like exercise and nutrition. And I found that really helpful to complete because, it's about taking back a little bit of control and giving yourself some structure when some of the kind of regular structured care has dropped off. So I found that really worthwhile.
Well, finally, to close off the podcast, I always ask three quick key points that you want listeners to take from the Bottom Line podcast. I'm going to go to you first, John. What are your three key takeouts?
I would say, first thing is meet yourself where you are. Doing something is better than doing nothing. Don't feel that, you know, because you can't exercise as much as you used to, that there isn't value in it. I think the second thing is exercise is, I was going to say probably, but I think undoubtedly the single biggest thing that you can do to help your physical and mental health, wherever you are in treatment, wherever you are on the journey. And also get involved with things like the social groups that Bowel Cancer Australia provide. So there's the Meaningful Movement group, which Anthony set up. You know, it can be really helpful in keeping you motivated, or maybe on days when you feel that you can't do something. And also it's just a lovely, lovely group of people and fabulous to be involved with.
I might just ask you a little bit about that, John. How important has the Meaningful Movement in terms of connection been for you?
Having cancer and having a cancer diagnosis obviously wasn't a great thing. I think for me, the one silver lining has been finding Bowel Cancer Australia. And I mean that sincerely and genuinely. It's made an absolutely huge difference. I found Bowel Cancer Australia after I'd had my surgery, but before I started my chemotherapy. And the difference it's made has been unreal. And that's why, you know, 2 years later, I try and keep involved. A lot of people, when they've been through treatment, will kind of drop off or move away. But I think it's really important to have lots of people who are at different kind of stages of their cancer journey stay involved. But both the Facebook groups, for example, are wonderful. And I've made some, you know, genuinely wonderful friends through that. You would not meet a nicer, more supportive group of people who are incredibly generous with their time.
No, I second that motion. Kaylee, your three quick takeaways.
theme of the talk today, I think, is just control. Use exercise as that thing that you can control and you can do yourself. I think on that as well, consistency. So doing something that you can manage and not comparing to somebody else, but doing it regularly, doing it frequently, even if that is in. And we spoke about the 30 minutes of trying to get that much exercise in a day, and maybe that's not achievable, and maybe you're doing like 6 bouts of 5 minute exercise and you're getting to that 30 minutes by the end of the day. I think that consistency is key. And then probably just seeking support, reach out. We're all here to help and to support you and guide you in the right direction. So yeah, just absolutely seek support.
Kaylee and John, thank you so much for joining me today on the Bottom Line podcast. Both of your insights, so invaluable for people who are going through bowel cancer or any form of cancer. And I really appreciate your time today. So thank you, John and Kaylee.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bottom Line podcast. To find out more about bowel cancer or for support or simply to donate, please go to bowelcanceraustralia.org.